Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. We could all do with a good laugh. I know I could. And certainly after the last couple of years I've had. So tonight we've got the opportunity to find out more about the Birmingham Comedy Festival. What is it? Where is it? Who are the star turns? And what are the venues? Well, on the line to tell me all about that from the festival is David Freak. Good evening, David.
Good evening, Clive. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. And thank you very much for spending part of your Friday evening with me. David, let's just go right back to day one. How and why did the comedy festival start?
Well, it was about kind of looking at what was going around in the city at the time. This is 20 years ago. This festival is now 20 years old. And there wasn't much kind of connection between the comedy clubs that were happening and the comedy shows that were happening around the city. This is kind of before, if you can remember, really before the internet kind of kicked off. So there wasn't that kind of availability of information that there is now. And it seemed like quite a nice way to bring all these clubs together, because there were quite small clubs happening in small suburbs around the city, and there were big stars playing those venues, which, unless you live near them, you weren't kind of really aware of.
No, that's right.
So the festival kind of gave those clubs a kind of bit of a focus. And from straight away, it was a success. And we're still here and still laughing.
Thank the Lord that you are.
Years.
And it never more so is it needed now. But you must use a lot of venues, David, for this as part of the festival. How many different venues do you use?
There's about a dozen. But it depends every year. It's slightly less this year. For obvious reasons,
I mean, generally, how receptive are the venue owners to you, you know, coming in and using their premises?
Well, they all support the festival, which is great. You know, right from, we've had shows at the arenas and big, symphony hall, hall was involved this year, right the way down to small local pubs and cafe bars.
I mean, I like going to see things at the Symphony Hall and large venues, but I do like the intimate venues as well, even if you've just got 30 people or so there, because, I don't know, I think it's just a little bit more homely, and as I say, dare I use the word intimate?
Yeah, I think certainly for us, running the festival, those smaller shows are probably the most important shows and the ones that we find most rewarding. Mm. It's great seeing those big names and people off the TV, of course, but it is quite nice seeing small acts that you may not have heard of.
That's right.
Who are just on the fringes of something special.
Well, we'll come on to those in a second, but give me an idea of the star turns that are performing this year. I mean, I've got your website open in front of me, but go on, name drop for me.
Well, I guess the biggest names are Russell Brand. I know some people are fans, some people aren't, but he is a big name. Tail Enders, the podcasters, and Chris Ramsey as well. Unfortunately, they're all sold out.
Right, gosh. But you've also got people like Jenny Eclair there as well, and Dane Baptiste I heard on the radio the other day. And Mark Steele is always good for a laugh as well.
Indeed, yeah.
But it isn't just comedy that you're doing, though, is it? You've got theatre productions as well. Tell me about those.
Indeed. Well, I guess the first thing that's kind of what happens is from Monday there's a Rocky Horror Show, and then from Thursday they both, well, that continues into the festival. We've got a one-man show called When You Fall Down at the Old Joint Stock, which is about Buster Keaton.
Right.
And there's also a play about Frankie Howard called Howard's End, which is also at the Old Joint Stock Theatre in Birmingham.
Oh, super. So, go on.
Sorry. And at the same venue, there's also some sock puppets.
Really?
The Sock Puppet Theatre. Scottish Falsetto Sock Puppet Theatre. Who are actually very, very, very funny. There's an all-ages show kind of early in the evening, and then I don't want to say adult show, but one for grown-ups. Adult show makes it sound like it's going to be something else, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it's all good, clean fun here.
Good.
Yeah, excellent. Now, you mentioned we've talked about some star names there. What about the up-and-coming comedy performers? Who have you got that are new to the scene or fairly new to the scene?
Well, I guess people like Rachel Fairbairn is a name who's, you know, she's been doing quite a bit of TV and popping up on podcasts and stuff. She's worth checking out, definitely. She's on Friday the 8th at the Glee Club. Mm-hmm. And Dane Baptiste, who you mentioned there, he's had a bit of TV as well. He's on Sunday the 10th at the Glee Club. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the best things about the festival is we do a free half-dayer on Sunday the 10th, mm-hmm, in Birmingham City Centre on John Bright Street, where there's two venues. One's called Cherry Red's, which is a great cafe bar. And then just a few doors down, there's a pub called The Victoria. And we take them both over in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And there's back-to-back comedy shows there, 8 shows, all free. And you can just kind of come down, check out ones you want. That's great. And there's people like Josh Pugh, who's from Warwickshire, mm-hmm, who's been doing some stuff with BBC Sounds recently. And CEO AB, who's actually from Paris. Then she moved to Birmingham, but she's just moved down to London, and she's signed to the same agency as Sarah Pascal. So we're expecting big things. I've seen
absolutely. Now, we were saying about these smaller venues, and you've just illustrated two examples there. What challenges has COVID presented with organising this for the venue owners? Because obviously you've got to keep it all safe, haven't you?
Indeed, yeah. I mean, obviously everybody will be adhering to whatever the government guidelines are this time next week. Mm. And that's obviously something that's important. And we would encourage people who are feeling unwell or have any of those symptoms or are living with people with those symptoms to not attend, because they need to consider other people in the audience.
Yeah, that's right. Now, would you say the West Midlands, David, is a particularly good area for comedy? Because this is clearly successful after the last 20 years. So is there some unique ingredient here that makes this work?
I don't know if there is any unique ingredient. I think a lot of people have kind of tried to pin that down. Mm. But I mean, and the West Midlands has always had a really, really strong comedy scene. I mean, right back to Sid Field, who some people may have heard of.
I've heard of Sid Field, yes.
And then you've got, you know, Lenny Henry, Jasper Carrot, and all those other people. It's always been strong. It's always been strong for comedy. And in recent years, obviously, Joe Lycett is the big breakout star, but also Darren Harriott, mm-hmm, from the Black Country.
Yeah. How did the audience respond to the festival each year? And I guess last year it would have been different.
They respond to it with laughter. They respond to it with laughter, Clive.
That's
they
the right
answer. They roll around in the aisles, and at the end, there's standing ovations.
That's
people
what
cheer.
You need.
There's often an interval in the middle where they go to the bar and they drink. Mm. Sensibly, they drink. And then there's more laughter and cheering.
So clearly responding very well. But last year, because of the way in which things were, how did you do it last year?
We did do something online. We were humming and ahhing about whether we should do something because it was quite a challenging time. Mm. And we did a few online shows at exactly the same time to kind of mark the period. So we did some live stream shows, film commission, and some other bits and bobs. And that was great as well. We did some podcasts. That was really well received.
Do you get any funding for this, or do you just simply rely on people paying good money at the venues in order to buy their tickets?
We don't get a penny from funding, no. There's no public money or arts funding or anything like that involved in the festival. So it's all from within the comedy industry and locally. So it's kind of almost self-funded. It kind of looks after itself, hopefully. So we do, you know, we do rely then on tickets and people turning up to the shows,
sure,
which they do in droves, as I just mentioned, and laugh.
And it's good for our economy as well.
I hope so.
Yeah, it will be.
I can't
because,
say any more now.
You know, I mean, I would have thought that, you know, the venues will, you know, be rubbing their hands together with glee because, you know, everybody's had such a tough time with not being able to open and such like. So to have something like this back in person as opposed to last year when it was done virtually, then that can only be a good thing.
Indeed, yeah.
And you get more interaction. And of course, as a performer, I mean, it's been a long, long time since I've done stand-up. I think for me, it was more like sit down. But, you know, when you get the hecklers and people like that, that really challenges the artist because their skill is really curtailed to how they respond to them.
It's not so much, I think, the heckling. It's the response from the laughter. Laughter is something that's infectious. And you don't get that on Zoom. You might get a few muted people who look like they're snickering. But you don't get that online. But when you're in the room, that's where the magic happens.
Yes, it is. It just adds
and
to that.
And the performers, feed off that. They know they're now, you know, how to build a joke, when to leave the pause in, to let the audience laugh, let the gag kind of filter through the crowd.
So when is the festival on until then? When does it start and when does it conclude?
It starts on next Friday. Friday the 1st of October.
Right.
And then runs until Sunday the 10th.
Lovely. So it's, 10 days, isn't it, really? Which is rather good.
Indeed.
Yeah. Good stuff. So you talked about some of the other events. What other activities have you got? We've talked, obviously, about the stand-up. We've talked about some of the shows. And the sock puppets, I think, is going to be brilliant. But have you got any other things as well that you're seasoning it all with?
Well, comedy's at the root of it all this year. I mean, in the past, we've done visual arts, we've had classical music, we've had food-based events, we've had films. It's slightly different this year because we didn't get the run-in, we didn't get the time to kind of plan what we wanted to do. So it's more concentrating on theatre and stand-up this year. But within that, there's still, as you say, sock puppets. We've got some podcasters, the Tailenders, and Tea with the Devil. There's some improv.
Mm-hmm. No, there's all sorts of things.
And magic as well. Some prestidigitation.
Wow. I remember seeing a friend of mine called Gordon Astley, and Gordon was a very popular radio presenter here in the Midlands, and I went to somebody's leaving do many years ago, and Gordon was doing some close-up magic. And Gordon, he was a magician first and foremost, rather than a radio presenter and television presenter. But literally, I was watching close up, not more than 4 inches away from what he was doing, and I was mesmerised by his skill. And I love seeing magicians close up because the sleight of hand. It's just amazing what they do.
Indeed, you could almost say it was magic.
Yes, indeed. Now, for people who perhaps aren't well enough to come out or can't come out or are not comfortable with doing so, can they see any of this online? I know you mentioned the podcasts, but is anything going online for people who aren't able to come out?
We are doing a few things as podcasts, so there will be a few shows, but we're not really kind of streaming live shows, unfortunately.
Mm.
We'd rather do that in the room if we can this year, because we can. We won't be streaming.
No. So if you want to get involved, you have to go along to a venue.
I'm afraid so.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, we do appreciate that might not be possible for some people, but we just don't have the capacity to kind of stream the entire festival.
No, I mean, it must take a tremendous amount of work to achieve what you do now, never mind adding, you know, something like that to it. And tell me, David,
just wasn't possible.
Tell me about the Breaking Talent Award. What's that all about?
Well, nothing this year, because I'm afraid it's not happening. But the Birmingham Comedy Festival Breaking Talent Award is usually something we do every year. Where we ask some of our favourite promoters and local comedians to recommend acts locally who they think are doing something quite special.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a bit of a competition at the Glee Club. And then the winner becomes the Breaking Talent Award winner for that year.
Right.
Unfortunately, because of COVID, there haven't been many chances for comedians to go out and hone their shows. So we didn't feel it was fair this year to put somebody on the stage at the Glee Club who may have only performed 3 or 4 times in the last 18 months in front of a live audience.
Mm.
So we decided to postpone it this year and also last year, unfortunately, as well. So hopefully next year we'll be reintroducing the Breaking Talent Award.
Can you sort of spill any or share any words of wisdom to anybody who is thinking of starting out on the comedy circuit? One of my friends is quite an accomplished stand-up comedian, but for anybody who is thinking, I fancy having a go at that, what do you think, in your opinion, would be the best way for them to start out?
There are a number of people who do comedy courses, and stand-up courses, and they're worth looking at if you're serious about things. There's a guy called James Cook who's involved in the Birmingham Comedy Festival. He tends to do it most years. He runs a regular stand-up course, and that's great. A lot of stand-up comedians in the West Midlands have gone through that course and have gone on to better things.
Mm.
The other thing I think to think is try it small, start small.
Mm.
Some people think, oh, I can just go out and do an hour show, or I can do 20 minutes of being funny. And being funny in a pub with your mates is very different to being funny in front of a room full of strangers.
Yeah, it's scary.
At 10 o'clock at night, who have eaten too many salt and vinegar crisps.
Yeah, it is very scary, I must admit. So how can we find...
So start with 5 minutes after, you know, you've done that a few times in a few little open spots around the comedy clubs around the West Midlands.
Mm-hmm.
Do 10 minutes, 20 minutes, work your way up.
And build that confidence as well and understand how to get that rapport with your audience, I suppose.
Indeed, yeah, and deal with some of those hecklers in the Black Country.
Yes. How can we get tickets then, David?
Well, head on to our website if you just Google Birmingham Comedy Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Other search engines are available, or just log on to BHAMCOMFEST. That's BHAMCOMFEST.co.uk. And we're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as BMCOMFEST.
And go and get your tickets and have a jolly good laugh at somebody else's expense.
Indeed.
David Freak from the Birmingham Comedy Festival, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Clive. I think it takes a very special kind of person to stand on a stage to either, you know, the Symphony Hall or a small intimate venue that David was talking about and actually entertain an audience and get a laugh out of them. And one such person who is very, very good at doing that is Birmingham comedian Lavelle Smith, who joins me on a line now in Shropshire. Good evening, Lavelle.
Good evening.
It's lovely to speak to you, and I know there's a lot of background noise, but you are in the back and beyond of Shropshire. But I mean, we were talking in the first hour of the programme, which I appreciate you may not have caught, that we were talking about the Birmingham Comedy Festival. Now, you're a stand-up, you're a very established stand-up. How did you get started in the business?
I kept getting fired from every other job, so I thought,
at least you're honest.
it's a bit cliche, but I've always been a funny one in my group of friends, and one of my friends, I was taking a mic with one of my friends one of the days, and he was like, you should be a comedian, you should. And I thought, you know what, I watch a lot of stand-up, you know, and I actually researched open mics, found one, and I was like, I could definitely do this, and literally went back and it's going really well.
But I mean, what sort of size of venues have you played? I mean, have you played at places like the Symphony Hall or the Glee Club, or do you tend to do smaller, intimate venues?
So I have played at the Glee Club. Yeah, I've actually played at the Glee Club. Yeah, that was amazing. That was playing at the Glee. The venues always vary. I play at some small intimate venues, you know, like 20 people.
Mm.
Then it goes up to like Glee Club, where I think when I did it in the main room, I think there was like 500-600 people there, and that felt special. That would
frighten the living daylights out of me. Where do you go about researching your material?
So I do a lot of observational comedy. So literally, a lot of my jokes are stuff that's happened to me in my life, or stuff I've seen, stuff I've experienced.
And I think that's the best kind of comedy, really, because it's something that everybody can relate to.
Yeah, like a lot of it is relatable. Like I talk about me, like actually getting fired from jobs, and you know, not being successful at jobs, and you know, things like that. And you know, and I feel like that is relatable. You might not be fired, but you might be in a job you don't like, and I feel like a lot of people can relate to stuff like that.
Oh yeah, we've all been in jobs that we, you know, we don't like, and you know, I mean, I'm fortunate I've been doing this for a long time, but I haven't always done it, of course. But I mean, clearly you're getting out there gigging again now, which obviously you weren't able to do last year. What does it feel like when you tell your first gag, or you deliver your first line, and you get that instant reaction back from the audience?
So every time I'm on stage, no matter what size venue it is, if it could be 10 people, I'm always nervous, and then, you know, deliver that first line, get that first laugh, and then it's like, yeah, and then I kind of like bounce off the audience the audience reaction, and it's good, man. It feels good just to know like you've got a room full of people, and you've made them laugh. Like you know, that's actually you doing that.
Have you ever had it happen when you've delivered a gag and you've got the tumbleweed, the stone silence?
yeah. So obviously, you know,
that's always my biggest fear.
So obviously, when you're developing new material, some of it, you know, sometimes I think, this is gonna do so good on stage. This is my favourite bit, and I've done it like I had new material night, and literally like no one's laughed. Just, you know, everyone's looked at me like, is that the punchline, or where's the punchline? And so that has happened. Yeah, that has happened with new stuff. But you know, you say, you know, there's some things I say something sometimes to kind of say, oh, so that was new, or I'll never say that again, and that probably gets a bit of a laugh sometimes. Mm. But
it makes your bum flap, doesn't it, really, that sort of thing, because you think, crumbs, now where do I go from here with this?
Yeah, it is obviously a bit, you know, high pressure, but it's I think it's got to the point where I know it can happen, so it's just like, okay, if it happens, you know, it happens, we just move on. You know, we've always got something I can fall back on, which I know is going to work as well. So that kind of helps as well.
Who do you try your material out on before you go to a venue?
So sometimes I've got a few comedy pals who I'll probably, you know, run some jokes by them. But sometimes I'll probably just, first time I'm saying it, might be at a venue, so it's a big risk. You know, the more I write, I'm getting better at writing. So a lot of it, I'm like, okay, I kind of, is usually funny. It might not be one of them jokes where everyone's going to get a big laugh, but it's like, it's quite funny now. So sometimes I'm saying it for the first time in a room full of people, and it's almost like, oh, is this going to work? I don't know, but we'll find out.
I mean, do you have any other sort of employment as well as this, or is this your main sort of job, if you like?
Yeah, so for now, this is actually my main
That's really good.
Source of income, yeah.
That is really good to be able to do that. What sort of gigs have you got coming up?
I'm actually gigging tomorrow in Bromsgrove, so it's always good when I'm gigging close to home. That's at a cricket club.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday, I am... it's really bad. I actually don't know where I am, but I'm gigging on Sunday. I actually don't know where I am. But
might be worth you finding that out.
I've got everything in my diary, and I just know, and I need to check and sort it out. I do it on the day, but yeah, I'm gigging on Sunday. With a few, and I was a TV name on that gig, so that's most likely a good one as well. And literally, I'm since COVID, everything's been opened back up. I'm back gigging like five times a week now, so it's good, getting busy again.
Now, you say you do observational comedy. What would you say would be a good skill to have for somebody who is going to consider, you know, starting in stand-up, if you like? Because, I mean, I like observational comedy, that's me, but I'm also one for delivering the acerbic, cynical put-down line. I think it does take a special kind of person to be able to do what you do.
Tips for somebody that's wants to try stand-up, I would say just you know, give it a go. Don't worry about being nervous. You know, all the great comedians, probably comedians that you probably like, have probably bombed on stage. I think that just happens. You always hear stories about them telling you when they bombed. Just give it a go. And for writing material, I would say just start with, the easiest thing to do, start with funny stuff that you've seen or that's happened to you. And all of my original jokes were stuff that has happened to me, that was, you know, things that happened, might happen in school, things that might have happened in previous employment, and I was using all them because that was my material, that was what happened to me, so that was all my first jokes came from.
I remember listening to an interview many years ago with the late Les Dawson. He was talking on television, and he said that when he used to do the Northern clubs, and they're a particularly tough audience there, he used to say, if they like you, they let you live. What sort of audience experiences have you had? Have you had anything ghastly like that happen? That's clean that you can tell me.
Not had anything as bad as that happen. Probably anything I could probably say I probably can't say on the radio. To be fair, I think now stand-up's a lot more popular. I feel like, you know, I've been blessed to probably have a lot of great audiences. You know, you get the odd heckler that might shout out and say something, and, you know, and usually when you get hecklers, they just want to be involved. They're not necessarily being nasty. They just they want to be involved, and they're just not sure about the comedy etiquette. You know, they're not sure that they're actually not meant to be talking.
No, that's right. It's your turn in the spotlight. What about career ambitions, finally, Lavelle? Are you going to be on Live at the Apollo one of these days, do you think?
That's the dream, to be honest. So obviously, I'm very new in doing stand up, but it's been going really well. I'm able to, you know, do it full time at the minute, and ideally, I want to get to the point where I'm on Live at the Apollo and, you know, mock the week, and I think that'd be great. And then maybe one day, you know, having my own tour.
Absolutely. So how long have you been doing it? You say you're new to it, but how long have you been doing it?
So I started in start of 2019. I did my first gig in February 2019.
Oh my gosh, so you are very new then.
Yeah, and then that year, I won Midland's Best Newcomer. I thought I'd throw that in as well.
Well done, you. Congratulations. That's really good.
Thank you, yeah. And yeah, so it's just been going really well. Obviously, you know, the last 18 months, you know, I think, you know, both we had COVID, so we couldn't, no, there weren't no live gigs. And I didn't really want to do, I did a Zoom gig, and I was like, I have to look at myself and hear myself. That is the worst thing.
I don't like that.
No. So yeah, I didn't like that. So I did a bit of overwork during COVID, and then as soon as I was allowed back out, as soon as Boris said we're allowed back out, I was out there gigging 5 times a week again.
Good stuff. Well, congratulations on that award, and best of luck for the future. Thank you so much for your time this evening, Lavelle Smith. Thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Clive.
All right, thank you for having me.
That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcast or wherever you get your podcast from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.